Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the First Samuel, the book of First Samuel. This is chapter 9, there are 27 verses, and we have a newsletter for you to hear. I'm going to start doing a newsletter on each one of these tapes, because so many people never have read a newsletter of ours, and we have 25, 26 of these letters, various, and they're all from all over the world, over 200 countries. We've got them from China, from Philippines, India, lots of them from these areas, and Africa, to the United States of America, Solomon Island. You got just everywhere, and I think it's good to hear them every so often. But now let's ask the Lord to anoint the reading of His Word and also the translation of His Word and the commentary of His Word and everything. Father, we ask that You anoint everything that is done. You control everything that's done on this tape. And Lord, open up every mind and spirit to receive You, because that's all we really need. We don't need a deliverer, a deliverance, because we have You, the deliverer. That's all we need, is the deliverer, because You deliver us from all worldly desires, all worldly lusts. If we have You, we don't have these things any longer. And Lord, You deliver us from Satan, in the bondage of Satan. You give us salvation, but we just need the Savior. No, we don't need salvation, we just need the Savior. When we have You, Jesus, the Savior, we have salvation. We have healing, because You're the healer. By Your stripes we were healed. So we don't need healing, we just need the healer. We don't need deliverance, we just need the deliverer. Because You deliver us from poverty, from everything on the face of this earth that is evil and of the devil. So, Lord, deliver. If we have You as our deliverer, our mind is free from all the satanic bombardments of Satan, the things of this world. We have You, and we have deliverance from the flesh. All influences of our flesh and Satan. Lord God, we thank and praise You for being our deliverer. We thank You for being Jesus. You're all that we need, Jesus. We thank You for healing, for being the healer and being in us. Therefore, we're healed. We thank You for we don't need power, because You are all power in heaven and on earth. And if we have You, we have the power. Glory to God. We can do all things in You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord God, we ask that You give us You more and more every day, because You're all that we need. In Jesus' name, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's come over and read that newsletter. Where is this one from, Michelle?
Zambia.
Zambia, and that's in Africa, right?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Dear Pastor Alamo, I extend my sincere greetings and salutations in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayer for you is that God will keep and bless you. I thank God for giving me this opportunity to write and thank you for your spiritual support by sending me newsletters which are very interesting to our church and the people whom we meet. Pastor, we are very thankful for the work you are doing for our church. Pastor, our church is growing because of your food which you are sending to us. Thank you, Pastor.
They mean spiritual food, right?
Yes.
We send them also regular food for their necessary food for their bodies. But Jesus is our food and our drink. Amen?
Amen.
He's everything. Praise the Lord. And He's our eternal immortality, our eternal life. Then what?
You have sent us some Bibles. There were 6 Bibles. Thank you, Pastor, for the work you are doing around the world. As I am willing to distribute your literature on a full-time basis, I would appreciate it if you could send all or as many copies of your literature as you can. All I sincerely long for is that everyone in this town receives your life-changing messages. The devil will be in trouble here. Pastor, I gave those Bibles to our new members. They are greeting you, Pastor. As I was giving them the Bibles, they danced in the church. Pastor, for your information, our church now has 200 members as I am writing this letter because of you. Thank you very much. Please, may God bless you, Pastor. Send us some more Bibles, up to 10 more, if you can.
And you see, it's because of anybody that lets the Lord use them. All I did is the Lord gave me literature, and he told me what to write, and I wrote it, and then he told me to send it everywhere, and I did, and look at it. So if you do the same thing, or whatever the Lord tells you, you're going to see these things. It's not us. It's us doing what the Lord says, so all the glory goes to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And, of course, we get great and tremendous rewards. We get him. Amen?
Amen.
That's our tremendous reward, is that we've got Jesus, and when we have Jesus, we have everything.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All things are ours. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Then what else?
Pastor, send us some more Bibles, up to 10 more if you can, and again, 500 newsletters and some tapes and CDs. May God bless your church and you, yours in Christ as a servant of God, from Zambia.
Okay, now I see there's another one there. What is that?
This one?
There's more here?
Yes.
Oh, well, now, from what I understand, we have a mail room. They say as soon as these letters get in, they immediately fill their requests. Everything went out. And so there's another letter there?
Yes.
Okay, let's read it.
My dear beloved brother,
I don't even know where this is from. Where is it?
India.
India, okay. So we covered all the bases. Amen?
Amen.
For the Lord. That's the Lord doing it. Amen?
Amen.
We're just instruments in his hand. And I sure am glad I'm not an instrument in the devil's hand anymore. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. It's nice to be free to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Receive our warm and joyous Christian greetings and God's blessings to you all and your ministries. Happy New Year 2005 to you all. Pray for me for my work which I have here in South India. Here in our Boblianka and Rajdavupuram churches, we are all busy praying for you all and your ministry, for your great works which you are still doing all around the whole world. May God bless you all and your ministry. Amen. Thank you very, very, very much for your large box of Telugu tracts, the Shema, Dry Bones, and 10 Telugu Bibles, 2 English Bibles, and some newsletters which you sent to me and my ministry for free distribution. Therefore, all the tracts which you sent to me I have shared in some villages in India. About 43 people got saved. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the Lord at work. Amen.
Amen.
And he wants us to work in. And so if we do what he says, then you're going to see this accomplished. So that's why it's happening. Amen?
Amen.
So everybody just pitch in, you know. We can't do it alone. Everybody has to work. And if we do this, we will not be destroyed, the Lord said, because he'll keep us. Because he's the one that keeps us, and he defends us. Amen?
Amen.
And so just keep up the good work, and you know, he says, if we put this out, we will not be destroyed, but if we don't, we will be, because that's just a direct violation of the Lord's commandment. He says, get the gospel out to the entire world, to every creature. And so, and he says, those that believe shall be saved, those that believe the whole Bible, that is, and those that doubt any of the Bible, which is Christ, shall be damned. I understand that very well. Amen, don't you?
Amen.
What's to not understand? It's quite explicit. Then what else?
I distributed the 10 Telugu Bibles to poor men in South India because they cannot afford them. Your tracts are needed here in South India. Would you please try to help me with 3 large boxes of Telugu tracts and Holy Bibles for free distribution?
Amen. Well, the mail room said they sent them out already. Instant, like lightning. Okay, then what?
In this letter, we are sending gospel tour photos. I know that your ministry is responsible with gospel materials, e.g. booklets, cassette tapes, tracts, and gospel materials, so please, in Jesus Christ's name, try to help me with some used clothing and shoes. We are praying together for the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus, the great overcomer. Reverend, many people have been asking me for your writings. Please do not stop sending me your newsletters, Miraculous Healing, Flying Saucers or End Time Prophecy, Satan's Secret Agents, Our Actual Innocence Does Not Matter. We believe that God will use your ministries to help in this direction, as you have been doing to others. I look forward to your favor and godly reply. Remain blessed continuously in the Lord. From India.
Where in India?
Andhra Pradesh.
Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, Sharon, let's start reading 1 Samuel chapter 9, the 27 verses, King James Version, translation, and commentary.
Saul meeting Samuel. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. Verse 2. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Translation, verse 1 and 2. Saul meeting Samuel. Kish was a rich, influential man from the tribe of Benjamin. He was the son of Abiel and grandson of Zeror from the family of Bechorath and the clan of Aphiah. Verse 2. His son Saul was the most handsome man in Israel, head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the land. King James Version, verse 3. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul his son, Take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go, seek the asses. Verse 4. And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. Verse 5. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, Come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. Verse 6. And he said unto him, Behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Translation, verse 3 through 6.
I'll do 7 first.
Okay. Verse 7. Then said Saul to his servant, But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? Translation, verse 3 through 7. One day Kish's donkey strayed away, and he told Saul, quote, Take a servant with you and go look for them. Unquote. Verse 4. So Saul took one of his servants and traveled all through the hill country of Ephraim, the land of Shalisha, the Shalim area, and the entire land of Benjamin, but they couldn't find the donkeys anywhere. Verse 5. Finally they entered the region of Zuph, and Saul said to his servant, quote, Let's go home. By now my father will be more worried about us than about the donkeys! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 6. But the servant said, quote, I've just thought of something! Exclamation mark. There is a man of God who lives here in this town. He is held in high honor by all the people, because everything he says comes true. Let's go find him. Perhaps he can tell us which way to go. Unquote. Verse 7. Quote, But we don't have anything to offer him, Saul replied. Even our food is gone, and we don't have a thing to give him. Unquote. King James Version, verse 8. And the servant answered Saul again and said, Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Verse 9. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, Come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Verse 10. Then said Saul to his servant, Well said, come, let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was. Verse 11. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, Is the seer here? Verse 12. And they answered them and said, He is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. Verse 13. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him, before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. Verse 14. And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Verse 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, Verse 16. Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me. Verse 17. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, Behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Translation, verse 8 through 17. Quote, Well, the servant said, I have one small silver piece. We can at least offer it to him and see what happens! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 9. Bracket, in those days, if people wanted a message from God, they would say, quote, Let's go and ask the seer, unquote, for prophets used to be called seers. End bracket. Verse 10. Quote, All right, Saul agreed. Let's try it! Exclamation mark, unquote. So they started into the town where the man of God was. Verse 11. As they were climbing a hill toward the town, they met some young women coming out to draw water. So Saul and his servant asked, quote, Is the seer here today? Unquote. Verse 12. Yes, they replied. Quote, Stay right on this road. He is at the town gates. He has just arrived to take part in a public sacrifice up on the hill. Verse 13. Hurry and catch him before he goes up the hill to eat. The guests won't start until he arrives to bless the food. Unquote. Verse 14. So they entered the town, and as they passed through the gates, Samuel was coming out toward them to climb the hill. Verse 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel the previous day, verse 16, quote, About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him to be the leader of my people Israel. He will rescue them from the Philistines, for I have looked down on my people in mercy and have heard their cry. Unquote. Verse 17. When Samuel noticed Saul, the Lord said, quote, That's the man I told you about! Exclamation mark. He will rule my people. Unquote. King James Version, verse 18. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. Verse 19. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. Verse 20. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house?
See, it was good. Samuel took Saul's mind off of these animals, because it's really good to communicate to people. I know that there's so many people that don't communicate today, and the Lord states that people of the Lord must communicate one to another. and people that are on the front lines that are carrying the load of the gospel throughout the world, and they're doing so many other things, it is very necessary for people to, when they're told to do something, do it and then report back that you did it. Or if there's something wrong in the church, to report immediately. Or if there's something broken, to fix it immediately, because it relieves the mind of the leader of the that the Lord has called, the authority. Okay, it relieves the authority's mind so that they can reach out to the Lord even further. And so Samuel even relieved this man's mind before he was even anointed to be king. Okay, then go ahead.
Verse 21. And Saul answered and said, "Am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?"
See, Samuel was a man of the Lord, and so he... That's the way I feel also about, you know, when I know something that people should know, I like to tell them about it, so to relieve their mind. Even like when I'm bringing a message, I know that if I don't spell out the name of the different people, that people in the Bible, that the person that is transcribing it for me will have to look to see what the exact spelling of the word is. And so when I'm doing the tape, I'll spell it out. And people that read the Bible into the tape should spell the names of some of these hard to spell names that don't exactly, you can't tell exactly how the name is spelled. You should, when you're reading it into the tape, spell it, or the name of a city. And I do that on my tapes, if you haven't noticed it. I mean, anyone, and I would relieve the person that's doing the typing so that they don't have to pick up the Bible for each name, because a lot of times there's a lot of names of different people and towns and places in the Bible that they won't know how to spell. It'll just take them too long to type. And so I am considerate for other people. And I take that burden off them by showing them or telling them how to spell all these different names. They might know how it's spelled, but still I would rather do it, because I just don't believe that they do. And even if I thought they did, there's going to be people hearing it that don't know, all right? And so I think it would be a lot better if, when you're reading it, these messages into the tape, that you would spell the names of the people and the towns, all right? Don't you think that would be better?
Yes.
Do you understand? Of course, a lot of you are reading your Bible as you go along, but a lot of people are in their automobiles, and they're driving, and they don't have a Bible to look into. They're not reading along with you. And some people are blind, and they can't read. All right, so it's good to think about everybody. All right, go ahead now.
Verse 22. And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. Verse 23. And Samuel said unto the cook, "Bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee." Verse 24. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, "Behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people." So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. Verse 25. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. Verse 26. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, "Up, that I may send thee away." And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. Verse 27. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on before us." And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Translation, verse 18 through 27. Just then Saul approached Samuel at the gateway and asked, quote, "Can you please tell me where the seer's house is?" Unquote. Verse 19, quote, "I am the seer!" Exclamation mark. Samuel replied, Go on up the hill ahead of me to the place of sacrifice, and we'll eat there together. In the morning I will tell you what you want to know, and send you on your way. Verse 20, "And don't worry about those donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, for they have been found. And I'm here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all Israel's hopes." Unquote. Verse 21, Saul replied, quote, "But I'm only from Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel, and my family is the least important of all the families of that tribe." Exclamation mark. "Why are you talking like this to me?" Unquote. Verse 22, "Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the great hall and placed them at the head of the table, honoring them above the 30 special guests." Verse 23, "Samuel then instructed the cook to bring Saul the finest cut of meat, the piece that had been set aside for the guest of honor." Verse 24, "So the cook brought it in and placed it before Saul." Quote, "Go ahead and eat it," unquote, Samuel said. Quote, "I was saving it for you even before I invited these others." Exclamation mark, unquote. So Saul ate with Samuel. Verse 25, "After the feast, when they had returned to the town, Samuel took Saul up to the roof of the house and prepared a bed for him there." Verse 26, "At daybreak the next morning, Samuel called up to Saul," quote, "Get up!" Exclamation mark. "It's time you were on your way," unquote. So Saul got ready, and he and Samuel left the house together. Verse 27, "When they reached the edge of town, Samuel told Saul to send his servant on ahead. After the servant was gone, Samuel said, quote, "Stay here, for I have received a special message for you from God," unquote.
All right, that was verse 27, chapter 9, 1 Samuel. And now some commentary.
9, verse 2. "At this time in Saul's life, he was a young man, married, and had a son, and his son's name was Jonathan." 9, verse 4. "The mountains of Ephraim and north of Gibeah, Saul's home." The exact location for Shalisha and Shalim are not really clear in this day and age. 9, verse 5. "Zuph," Z-U-P-H, "is Ramah," R-A-M-A-H, "where Samuel lived." 1, verse 1. 9, verse 7. This verse gives insight into how the prophets were supported. 9, verse 8. "One-fourth of a shekel is about one-tenth ounce of silver." 9, verse 9. Though previously having different meanings, quote, "prophet," unquote, and, quote, "seer," unquote, have come to be used interchangeably. 9, verse 11. "Towns were built on the tops of the hills, but the water would be in the valley or below the city. The job of carrying water fell to the young women." 9, verse 12. "To the pagans, the," quote, "high place," unquote, "was the locale of worship to their idols. To the Israelites, it was a place of prayer and sacrifice."
And why pray and sacrifice unto the Lord? Why not have idols? Why not go after the things of the world? Why not have a woman or a man as your idol? Why not, you know, have music as your idol or other things? Because Jesus, outside of Jesus, nothing is going to exist eternally. Amen.
Amen.
So everything is like going to vanish in the big fire that's coming. And so nothing is really of value except the Lord. There's no deliverance. Nothing else in the world can deliver. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing else in the world is the deliverer. is the Savior, is the Healer, is the power. Amen?
Amen.
Remember, all power belongs to the Lord. So here all these different nationalities of people are worshiping something that isn't going to do them any good in a time of trouble or at the time of their death and throughout eternity. So it's just ridiculous. It's stupid to be concerned about anything else other than the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And the things that the Lord tells us to be concerned about. Well, we should care about our wives. Yes, we should, because the Lord said so. Amen?
Amen.
But we care for them in a different way than the people of the world care for their wives and children. And we care about their spiritual life as well as their physical life. And we care about everything concerning that person. The main goal is to get that person and every person that we can into the kingdom of heaven. And not just God bless America, but we God bless the people that all over the world that accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and we pray that God will cause everybody to do that. Amen?
Amen.
So people read about these idol worshippers and they just read it like it's just something that is not, it just doesn't register in their mind the things that they're reading. They just had the big Super Bowl the other day and over in Florida. What's that big town in Florida where we stayed there for a while?
Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's where they had the Super Bowl. And, man, the people were there by the hundreds of thousands to watch that thing, and their idols are the football players, and they even call themselves, you know, idols. They just, it's unbelievable the way that people, over a stinking ball, you know? I mean, and here they don't even think about Jesus. I mean, they're the one that is everything. So forget about balls. Okay? It's ridiculous. Baseball, football, basketball, ping pong, you know, whatever. Bouncing balls. I mean, what is this going to do for you so far as getting into eternity? Amen?
Amen.
Put these idols down. I mean, if you're going to idolize something, for God's sake, a ball? Amen?
Amen.
What good is that going to do? Something to bounce or throw. Oh, this guy caught it, you know. Oh, see spot run. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, he caught a ball. Hey, everybody stand up, you know. And he made a touchdown. I mean, these are grown men, for God's sake. And then suppose one of them dies, you know, and they're all going to die, amen?
Amen?
It's inevitable. And then what are they going to think about that ball? All they're going to say is, oh, God, you know, at the last, then they think that God is going to spare them. But because of the fact that you thumbed your nose at the Lord during the course of the time and put a ball in place of the Lord and the work that he has for you to do, he wants you to go out and win souls, not to play ball, okay? Or to get involved in anything else. Sure, we have to make a living and support our wives and kids, but you better, you know, and if you seek the Lord, he'll tell you what vocation to get involved in so far as making finances. And the Lord will actually send in finances to you if you serve him. If you learn the Bible and go out and preach it to others, you won't have any worry about money. There's no unemployment lines in the house of God. Serve the Lord and be saved. Amen?
Amen.
And just give your whole self to Jesus, because he gave his entire self for us. And that's all we need, is our Savior, our Deliverer, our Healer. If we have all him, you know, and all the one that has all the power in heaven and earth, what do you need with a ball or anything else? Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Then I'm not saying you shouldn't use a toothbrush. Yeah, but the Lord okays that. Okay, then what?
9 verse 9. Seer, Roeh, R-O-E-H, Strong's Concordance number 7200 and 7203. A visioner, a seer, one who sees visions, a prophet. Roeh comes from the verb ra'eh, R-A-E-H, which means, quote, to see, unquote, but also has a wide range of meaning related to seeing, such as perceive, appeal, discern, look, stare, and many other nuances. It was only natural for Hebrew speakers to describe a prophet as a seer, since prophets frequently received messages from God through visions. However, the word nabi, N-A-B-I, meaning spokesman, is the preferred Hebrew word for prophet. 9 verse 15, quote, in his ear, unquote, is the equivalent revealing something directly and intentionally. 9 verse 16, quote, commander, unquote, is used of leaders in various government, military, and religious fields. 9 verse 17, quote, reign, unquote, means to keep within bounds, the idea being to keep the nation within the limits of God's direction and purposes. 9 verse 20, the desire of Israel for a king, 8 verse 5, rests on Saul. 9 verse 21, Benjamin was the youngest of Jacob's 12 sons, and his tribe had also been severely reduced in number at the battle with all the other tribes of Israel because of the terrible sins committed in the Benjamite city of Gibeah. Judges chapter 19 verse 20. 9 verse 22 through 24. Samuel, in anticipation of Saul's coming, had arranged the sacrificial banquet and invited 30 of the leading citizens of that city to join him.
To join him in serving the Lord. Now, I noticed that when... I didn't watch the game. I just watched the people after the game was over with. I heard on the news that there was the Super Bowl and that all these people were standing in line to get planes to get out of Jacksonville, Florida. And so that's what drew my attention to it. So I went on to the sports channel to hear that. I knew the game was over. So I just wanted to hear what they're saying. And... here the New England team had won 3 years in a row, 3 out of 4 years. And so everybody was saying, they're a dynasty. Are you a dynasty? Would that make them a dynasty now? And one of the people was telling me, you know, well, what is a dynasty? And I said, well, that's like, you know, being the king or a king, a kingdom, the king over a kingdom or something. So in other words, a football player is a king over a king because he won 3 games, okay? Well, when we were in high school, if we won 3 games in a row, I guess that would mean that we were a dynasty according to these simple-minded people in the world today. So read in the Webster's Dictionary what a dynasty is. Certainly, I don't believe it's a football player or a football team. Do you?
No.
But they just want to puff each other up and keep puffing themselves up until the Lord comes, and then they're going to say, oh my God, thou art the King of King and the Lord of thou art the dynasty, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
That he's the one that's the dynasty. That he's the everything, and they're going to know it then, and it's going to be too late. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that he's the King of Kings. The Lord of Lords, he is the only, one and only dynasty in the entire universe. All right? And so it's him that you should pay attention to now. Okay, read what a dynasty is that these football players think they are.
Sovereignty, lordship.
Oh, they're lords now. Okay. Because they're playing with a ball. Okay. And then what else are they?
Dominion.
Oh, they have power and dominion. Okay, God, I don't even watch a stupid football game. So to me, there's certainly no dominion. Okay, then what else?
A race or succession of kings of the same line or family.
Yeah, they're the king of the football. And they sit on a football as their throne, I guess. And then what? I won't even touch a football. I'm Jewish, and I won't touch pigskin. You know, I won't even touch the thing, let alone play with it. Then what?
The continued lordship of a race of rulers.
Okay. Well, what if they lose next year? Then they get dethroned. If somebody push them off the football. Okay, then what?
Okay. The thigh with its upper part is the portion of the sacrifice given to the priest. Exodus chapter 29, verse 27. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 32. 9, verse 25. Quote, on the top of the house, unquote. The flat roofs were often used for relaxation in the evening. 9, verse 2.
In Israel, so beautiful at nighttime. When I went to Israel, they said it was so horrible there. There was bombs blasting everywhere. I've never been so peaceful in my life as when I was there in Israel. I just felt the Lord there so strong. It was unbelievable. And the weather was so perfect that you couldn't even... I thought I was in heaven a lot of times because you couldn't feel hot, cold, or nothing. It's just like you're in like a beautiful... some kind of a place that is not has no sensation of weather. It's just perfect, you know? I mean, I never felt anything like that in my life, where the weather was just absolutely perfect. Down south here in the United States, I mean, we have bugs and mosquitoes, and it's sweaty, and you smell paper plants, and it's like... And over in Montana, it's cold, and so cold it freezes you. And over in Canada, Winnipeg, Manitoba, everywhere you go, it's like, you know, it's not like that. In California, you're sniffing the smog. I mean, it's like asphyxiating you. They say it's the same as smoking about 3-4 packs of cigarettes a day just to live there. And in Israel, it was just beautiful. And so people would just, they walk the streets there at nighttime, and nobody is afraid. Nobody. I mean, you know, like you here in the United States, they fold up, you know, they roll up the sidewalks at about 9 or 10 o'clock. Nobody, they close all the places, the restaurants down and everything, because there's so much crime on the streets. But there they just keep going. You hear music and laughing and everything, and nobody's afraid of it. Guys are walking around, soldiers, and even female soldiers with rifles in their hands, but they have smiles on their face. They're not going to shoot you. But they defend, they believe in defending their country. Amen?
Amen.
And they don't count on the United States to come in there and defend it for them. They feel very well qualified to defend themselves. As a matter of fact, you know, everybody knows that they're the finest fighting force in the world. I mean, if you're going to fight, but they shouldn't be fighting with carnal weapons. They should be fighting with the sword of the Lord, the Word of God. But, it's just like people would get on the roofs over there, and they'd just sit out there until all hours of the night, and it smells so sweet, the air there and everything. And people are so afraid to go to Israel because the press here, the media, makes it look like it's so dangerous over there. But we're living in, you know, the most horrible place on, one of the most dangerous places in the world. You don't see any drive-by shootings over there at all. You see terrorists there, but you see them over here too. I mean, but I've never saw anything like that over there. I mean, that happens once in a while. It's just not existent. And the news media makes so much more of it than it really is. There's more people being killed in Los Angeles alone than there is in the whole country of Israel. So don't be afraid to go to Israel. Do not be afraid to go there because it's beautiful. Okay, and then what?
9 verse 2. Saul was certainly a man of impressive physical attributes, but in his case, his, quote, gifts, unquote, were detrimental rather than helpful. People gifted with beauty, intelligence, great size or strength often fall into the trap of self-sufficiency. they begin to think they can go it alone. This attitude only stands in the way of achieving God's success. Pride and notions of personal potential may prevent us from ever becoming humble enough to admit that we have the need of the Lord. Saul looked good on paper, but he allowed his, quote, strength, unquote, to stand in the way of his only means of success, God's help. We must be careful to avoid this pitfall if we hope to succeed in recovery. 9 verse 14 through 17. Notice that Samuel approached at the very moment Saul entered the town. This should remind us of how perfect God's timing is in the events of our own life, exclamation mark. He often leads us to meet people or experience events that hasten the recovery process. If we see this to be true as we look back on our own life, we should thank God for his direction. See Psalms 37, verses 23 through 24, Psalm 138, verse 8, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17.
Well, praise the Lord. That was chapter 9 in 1 Samuel. What's his 27 verses? And translation and commentary. And also a lot of commentary in regards to that we should keep, we must actually keep Jesus first and foremost in our mind. We fill our mind with Jesus, and then we have all that Jesus has. If we fill our mind with the Lord, our spirit will be filled with him as well. So just keep focused on Jesus, both day and night. Pray to him, because it isn't going to do any good to try to do something on your own. Get your guidance and direction from the Lord, because he is our guidance. He is our direction. The Bible says that he is to be our teacher. He is our teacher. There isn't anything worth knowing but Jesus and the things that he tells us to know. Are we supposed to grow vegetables and to do all these other, and to prepare food and things? Yes. But the Lord made it clear in the New Testament that it's more important to hear him than it is to prepare food. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, Jesus said that he is our food and our drink. Those of us that eat him for food, which means to devour the word of God, and to drink him as his blood, which is the same as receiving the Spirit and doing everything that he tells us to do, that means that we've really got to everything that the Lord is, and everything that the Lord is going to be a magnificent dynasty in our life. He is the king. If we make him our king, he will make us kings and priests. We would be the whole, your life will be a godly life, a life that is full of peace and joy, because you know that your soul is saved. So until chapter 10 in Samuel, this is Tony Alami, your pastor, and if I'm not your pastor, I want to be, saying God bless you and praise the Lord.